worship with us here at the Vineyard. Don't you just love the baptisms? I love the baptism weekends. You know, congratulations to those of you that were water baptized. Way to go. That's such an important spiritual step, you know, in your spiritual development. And, you know, we do these every 2 months here at the Vineyard. And so if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, and yet for whatever reason you've never been water baptized, that's a really important part of your spiritual development. So you'll get an opportunity in 2 months. Make sure you're looking at the bulletin. You need to take one of our classes so you know what the Bible actually teaches about water baptism. And then hopefully we'll be celebrating your water baptism here in 2 months. By the way, if you're a guest here, maybe you're here for the baptism, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. If you have a Bible, where I want to start in the Bible this morning as I teach is in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we're going to start in chapter 25, and we're going to look at the first two verses. Before we jump into that, though, I just want to piggyback off of one of the highlights. You know, we're starting this new campaign in September called The Real Jesus, and, you know, I think it's going to be a fantastic campaign. Originally, one of my best friends in the whole world, Rich Nathan, he's the senior pastor at the Vineyard in Columbus, Ohio. He and his team put this together for their church last year, and he just told me how much it impacted their church. I've heard multiple things about it. And so we decided that's what God wants us to do, is do it here, the real Jesus. And I think we're going to all learn so much through this campaign. So make sure you're prioritizing. It's going to be a great campaign to invite people you know, coworkers, neighbors, friends, relatives, who maybe don't go to church, and maybe they don't really know a lot about Jesus, but this will really explain to them who Jesus is. So you'll be hearing more about it, but it's going to be a great, great campaign. We're going to receive our offering, so if the ushers want to come forward. I want to thank those of you. I know many of you are very faithful in your giving to God, to our church. Thank you. It really does make a difference. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon the offering. Most of all, though, let's pray and open our hearts to God this morning and ask God to speak to us out of the Scriptures as we study His Word. Okay, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that we get to partner with you and what you're doing in the world, and part of that is financially. And God, I pray for every one of us, whenever we give back to you, Lord, whenever that is, I pray that you'd not only bless our gifts and you'd use them to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus, but I also pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we give in our faithfulness in giving to you. And God, as we look into your Scriptures now, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak very clearly to each one of us. We open our hearts to you, God. We ask you to block out all distractions that the evil one might bring our way. Help us to really hear what you want to hear. And Lord, for that to happen, I need your empowering, God. I need you to fill me and empower me and give me the gift of teaching so that I would be able to teach the things that you want me to teach this morning. So come, Lord. Have your way in every one of our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by, you know, asking you personally a question. And it's a question that it really sort of, I think, it affects you. And it's this question: what do you think we expect here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix from people who are a part of our church family? What do you think it is that we expect? Now, I know many of you know our mission statement. Our mission statement here at the Vineyard is transforming ordinary people like you, like me, into extraordinary followers of Christ. But that oftentimes leads to sort of a follow-up question. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it look like to be an extraordinary follower of Christ? You know, over the years, I've found that a lot of people who come into our church, maybe they're new, or maybe they've even been around for a while, they kind of have the question in the back of their head, well, what is the expectation here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix for somebody who's really a part of our church? I'm not talking about guests. You know, if you're a guest here this morning, we're really glad you're here. We hope you keep coming back and checking out what God is doing here at the Vineyard. But I'm talking about those of you that call this church family your home. I'm talking about those of you who would say, you know what? I am a serious follower of Jesus. I call myself a Christian. So what is our expectation for people like that? I mean, is it that you would just attend church every once in a while when it works with your schedule? Is that our expectation? Is our expectation that you would give a little bit of money to the church whenever you're feeling generous? No, that's not our expectation. Is it you would just, you know, avoid living a scandalous life and getting involved in all kinds of horrible sins? That's not our expectation. Now, here's our expectation for every person in our church who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. We expect 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. We expect 100% commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we expect wholehearted devotion to loving and honoring Jesus in every single area of your life. That means we want you to love and honor Jesus with your time and with your energy and with your money. We want you to love and honor Jesus with the way that you make decisions. We want you to love and honor Jesus the way that you do your work at your workplace. We want you to love and honor Jesus with your sexuality and with your body, every single area. And so just so I make sure that you're understanding what I'm talking about, what is our expectation for someone who's part of Vineyard Church North Phoenix? We expect what? 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. Everybody say it out loud. We expect 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, we expect 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what we expect. Now, some people think, maybe this is you, they think, well, really, Brian? I mean, that seems kind of radical. I mean, 100% commitment? Have you ever heard a football coach gather his team around him or her and say to them, I want you to go out there today and give it a good 90% effort? No, football coaches don't do that. Have you ever heard of a boss at a really growing, great company interview a potential employee and say to that employee something like, if you come to work here, I just want you to know up front, we expect you to give a good 80% day's work when you come to work here? No, people don't do that. Have you ever heard a groom say to his bride on their wedding day, you know, with this ring, I thee wed, and I promise to be devoted to you and faithful to you almost all the time. Almost. Now, we expect 100% commitment in all kinds of areas in our lives, don't we? And yet, I've seen people go to church sometimes for years, and they don't like being called to 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. They don't like it. Now, they love hearing about God's grace. They love hearing about how God will love them no matter what. But oftentimes, they don't want to be challenged to 100% commitment to Jesus. But here at the Vineyard, we expect 100% commitment to Jesus Christ in every single area of your life. And you know why we expect that? It's because no one else and nothing else is worth it. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Now, the way that I want to explain this to you in the Bible is I want to talk about some of the kings of Israel in the Bible. You know, for a long time, Israel had various kings. And God was actually wanting the Israelites to make him their king. But the Israelites didn't really want God to be their king. They wanted an earthly king, like all the other nations around them. And so, you know, God allowed certain people to be raised up as kings. And we're going to talk mostly this morning about King David. But I want to start with a vivid contrast to another king. I had to turn to 2 Chronicles 25, starting in verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. Underline that part, not wholeheartedly. And so Amaziah was a guy who followed the rules. He was a guy that checked off the boxes. But see, his heart wasn't really in it. I want you to know, that's a miserable way to live. I don't want that for any of you, that your heart wouldn't be in it. And now contrast that with this summary statement about David found in Acts 13. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Underline that. He will do everything I want him to do. So David is called a man after God's own heart. Now, that can be a little confusing if you actually know the story of David. David was far from somebody that we would call a saint. First of all, David got involved in adultery, and then he ended up murdering the husband of the woman that he got involved in adultery with, and then he covered it all up. Not only that, David was a train wreck as a husband. He was even worse as a father. But see, here's the deal. David's heart belonged to God. His heart. His whole life is immersed in the presence and the story of God. See, what really fires David up is to love God and serve God and honor God. And when he messes up, and he does a whole lot, he's quick to repent and to try to get his life back right with God. And so what I want to do for the rest of this message is I want to use David's life to get real clarity for all of us on what exactly full devotion to Jesus really looks like. And then I'm going to challenge you and ask you a question at the end. Where do you stand on this? If this is what full devotion to Jesus looks like, where do you stand? And remember, our expectation as a church here at Vineyard North Phoenix for somebody who's part of our church family is what? 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. I think you're beginning to get it. So what does that look like? What does full devotion to Jesus look like? First of all, full devotion to Jesus means a passionate commitment to worship. A passionate commitment to worship. See, as the king of Israel, David had a whole lot of responsibilities. He had to lead the entire government. He had to lead the entire army. He had to lead the entire nation. He had all kinds of responsibilities. But what David really loved was worship. He sacrificed time and energy in order to worship. You might know that David was a great writer of the Psalms. He wrote many of the Psalms, and the Psalms, remember, are worship songs. And he would write things like in Psalm 9, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Underline that. I will tell of all the marvelous things you've done. See, that's not just lip service for David. Another time he wrote in Psalm 119, with all my heart I have sought you, speaking to God. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's not half-hearted devotion, is it? Another time we're told that David and actually all the household of Israel, they were dancing before the Lord with all their heart. I mean, they were in a full-blown worship service. They were singing songs to God. They were dancing before God. They were lifting their hands in worship before God, all of that. And David gets so exuberant in his worship that for some people, it was a little embarrassing. A little embarrassing. So look what happens after this in 2 Samuel 6. When David returned home after the worship service to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." David retorted to Michael, I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. And yes, I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. See, David didn't care if he might look silly in his worship of God. Wouldn't he have just loved to have seen David dancing before the Lord with all of his heart? I would love to have seen that. You know, I've found that sometimes people sort of worship God, but oftentimes they don't do it with their whole heart. Is that you? You know, when you come here to the Vineyard and you enter a worship service, do you really focus on the Lord and try to give him your whole heart and all the aspects of worship? As we worship him through song, we worship him through giving, we worship him through the study of his word. Are you trying to give him your whole heart through that worship experience? Or are you just kind of going through the motions? See, Jesus is worthy of our whole heart. He's worthy of all of our worship. And the truth is, everybody worships. Everybody worships something or someone. You know, I read about this paramedic who got a call one night to go to the apartment of this addict's apartment. And when he got there, man, this addict was completely trashed. He's shivering in the corner. He's unconscious. He's near death. His apartment, as you can imagine, is just littered with all kinds of garbage. Needles, syringes, drug paraphernalia, no food in the house whatsoever. But the paramedic's comment after this was so interesting. When he was asked about it, this is what he said. For the first time in my life, I understood what worship looks like. When a person is so desperate that they'll give anything, including their life, that's worship. And that's what this addict was worshiping, his addiction, his drug. Again, there's no such thing as a non-worshiping person. Everybody you know worships someone or something. We all worship someone or something. The problem is oftentimes we don't even realize what we're worshiping. Maybe you don't realize what your object of worship actually is. Here's a real easy way to test yourself on what you really worship. Just look at how you spend your time, energy, and money. What do you spend your time, energy, and money on? Most likely, that's one of the things that you worship. In our culture, one thing that a lot of people worship is a screen. We worship social media. We worship entertainment. We worship, you know, but video games and all that. Others in our culture worship some sort of an addiction. You know, it could be an addiction to success, where your whole life, all your time, energy, and money is focused on how you can be more successful, and success ends up becoming your God. Maybe you have an addiction of money, or maybe an addiction of sex, maybe popularity or control. But everybody worships. You know, when King David, at this time that we just read this scripture, he was married to Michael, and you might not know, but Michael was the daughter of King Saul, who was the previous king before David. And Saul was one of those guys who did not dance before the Lord with all of his might. And so Michael grew up seeing this sort of half-hearted devotion from her dad. And so I want to challenge you parents. You know, if you're a parent, your wholehearted devotion to Jesus is super important for your kids to see. Super important. And one of the reasons I say that is because oftentimes parents will make sure that their children get dedicated to the Lord, you know, when they're babies. Or maybe when they're a little older, they make sure that they get baptized because maybe that's seen as, you know, a family tradition or whatever. And even though they do that, oftentimes parents then become very casual about any kind of spiritual formation or spiritual education of their kids. They even get very casual in their own church attendance. I want you to know that's a huge mistake, because your kids are seeing that all the time. And that's not what full devotion is. You know, full devotion means I commit myself to model wholehearted worship of God to my kids. And so if you're a parent, that means that you need to really get serious about modeling wholehearted devotion to the Lord in your daily life. And a big part of that is making sure that you're plugged into a church and you make sure that your kids are plugged into a church as well. You know, if it's not this church, there's a lot of great churches. Find a great church. Plug in. Model to your children the importance of that, because that will be indelibly printed on their hearts. You know, my dad, he was really committed to the Lord, they'll say one day. My mom, she gave wholehearted devotion to Jesus, and that's the way that I want to live. It'll make a big impact. So don't be casual, you know, about your worship attendance. You know, by the way, if you have children fifth grade and under, or you have children sixth grade through 12th grade, we have some of the best children's ministry and the best youth ministry anywhere around. We really do. And if your kids are not already plugged into our children's ministry or our youth ministry, man, you need to get them plugged in. Get them plugged in. It will really make a difference. It'll teach them how to honor God with their lives. So that's first thing full devotion to Jesus means. Second thing full devotion to Jesus means, it means I repent of materialism and I get serious about generosity. That's another thing we see with David. You know, one time David was commanded by God to build God an altar, a place to offer sacrifices. And the particular place where God told David to build this was on another guy's land. And so this other guy knew about it, and he came to King David, and he said, I know you're going to build an altar here. I just want you to know, David, I want to give you my property as a free gift. I just want to give it to you. I want to give you my oxen so you can sacrifice them on the altar. I want to give you the wood to make the fire, to have the sacrifice, all that. I just want to give it all to you as a free gift. Here's David's response in 2 Samuel 24. No. He says, no, I insist on buying it. Why? Because I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. Underline that. That's wholehearted generosity. You know, another time we're told that David wants to honor God by building him a house, by building him a temple. And a lot of the money for this temple was going to come out of the national treasury to pay for it. But David said, I'm not just going to let the national treasury pay for this. I want to use a lot of my own personal money to pay for this as well. And I want you, he said to the Israelites, I want you guys to do the same. I want you to follow my example. And the Israelites were so moved that a king would give sacrificially of his own finances that they jumped in and they said, man, we want to do the same. We want to follow your example. See, that's one thing about commitment. Commitment is contagious. It's contagious. If you want to be committed to Jesus, here's a little hint. Get around some other people who are committed to Jesus, because you'll catch it. Commitment is contagious in all kinds of ways. You know, if you're only around people that really aren't into the things of the Lord, aren't really into church, aren't into spiritual things, what's going to happen is you're going to catch that from them, and it's going to pull you down. And so in this story, there's this explosion of giving among the Israelites, which leads to great joy. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. The people rejoiced over the offerings. Why? Because they had given freely and wholeheartedly, underline that, to the Lord. And King David was filled with joy. See, that's one of the things that God asks from every one of his followers, that we would be incredibly generous people. And I don't know what full devotion to Jesus will mean for your financial life, because I don't know what your financial situation is. And so I don't know what full devotion to Jesus will mean for your financial life, but I guarantee that full devotion to Jesus will interfere with it. It will interfere with it. You say, what do you mean? Well, it may interfere with the kind of house that you're able to live in. Or even if you're able to live in a house. If you have full devotion to Jesus, it may interfere with the kind of car that you're able to drive. It may interfere with the kind of toys, quote unquote, that you're able to buy. I don't know, but I know it will interfere. And from the very beginning, you know what? God told his people that he wanted them to honor him with their finances. In fact, God talked about tithing very early on to his followers. If you don't know what the word tithe means in the Bible, it means that we're supposed to give God the first 10% of all the income that he allows to come our way. It's part of our worship experience. It's called tithing. In fact, God said in Malachi 3 to the Israelites, he said to his followers, will a man rob God? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is always no. We would not rob God. That's a stupid thing to do, right? Will a man rob God? But you're robbing me, God says. They said, well, God, how have we robbed you? You're not tithing in tithes and offerings. And he goes on in verse 10, here's what I want you to do. Bring the whole tithe, all 10%, into the storehouse. That's the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament church. Bring your tithe to the storehouse. Why? So that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I won't open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. See, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus and you're not tithing, you need to make that a very, very high priority. Now, I know, I understand. A lot of people get themselves all messed up financially. Maybe this is you. Maybe you're really behind the eight ball. You have all kinds of debt in your life. You're like giving back to God the first 10% of my income. There's no way I could make that happen. I totally get that. I believe God totally gets that. But you know, if that's the case, we would love to help you here at the Vineyard for free. We have financial experts who would love to sit down with you, or sit down if you're married with both of you, and help you get on a path to begin to get out of debt. So eventually you could begin to obey God with your finances. If you're interested in that free counseling or that free, to help you get out of debt, just call the church office. But if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not tithing, you need to make that a super high priority. And I told you several months ago, make sure that you're tithing off of all your revenue streams. See, some of you have multiple revenue streams, like I do. And if you don't want to rob God, you need to make sure that you're tithing off of all the different revenue streams that you might have. So that would mean things like your paycheck, any interest income that you have, any dividends that you have that are coming your way. If you get an inheritance, you tithe off of that. If you sell a house and you make a profit, you tithe off of that. And sometimes that's not that easy to figure out. But if you want to be fully devoted to Jesus, that's part of what it means. All right, third thing full devotion to Jesus means, it means I live as a servant. I live as a servant. Now remember, David was the king of Israel. And that meant that he could basically do whatever he wanted. And even though that was true, David still chose to live as a servant. He didn't have to, but he chose. One time, you know what David did? He volunteered at great expense to his own finances and his own life in general. He volunteered to take care of this poor disabled man named Mephibosheth, and have him come into his household and take care of him. And the reason that David did that is because Mephibosheth was the last remaining member of the family of David's best friend, Jonathan. And so he took him in and he served him. A little later on, when David was living in a palace, David said, man, here I am. I'm living in a palace. And yet the Ark of the Covenant of God, the expression of God's presence on the earth, is in a little tent. I don't think that's right, David said. So I want to build God a house. And I want to spend a whole lot of my own money on this. See, that was David. He loved to serve God. He was a servant. And remember, what do we expect from people in our church here at the Vineyard? We expect 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. And so part of our expectation is that you would serve in some way in our church. You know, we all need to do our part. That's part of what makes a church great. It's where everybody says, man, I want to help. I want to contribute. I want to give, you know, of my talents and my abilities to honor God and build up our church the best way that I can. He's serving. You know, I want to show you a short video of one of the great outreaches. We do these all throughout the year, but we just had our back-to-school giveaway outreach where we served our community and gave away over 1,000 backpacks filled with school supplies. I know many of you served at that event. Let's go ahead and run that video. Whether I can see Thank you guys for serving at that event. Many of you gave financially, gave backpacks, school supplies, all that. You know, if you're new to our church, we do those kind of things to be a blessing to our community all throughout the year. You know, we don't exist here at the Vineyard for ourselves. We exist to be a blessing to our city and a blessing to our world. And so we give time, energy, and money. And when you give financially to our church, those are some of the kinds of things that we do. But anyway, I know so many of you serve in our church. Thank you. If you're not serving, that's part of full devotion. Let me give you one last thing about full devotion, what it means. It means that you love to be challenged. If you're fully devoted to Jesus, man, you love to be challenged. When King David was gathering the money and the materials to build that temple for God that we talked about, this is what he prayed. 1 Chronicles 29. Oh Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. Underline that part. You know why? Because that's true in your life and mine. Everything that you have, everything that I have, it all belongs to God. He's the one who gave it to us. And one day it's all going back to Him. So why do we get so uptight about giving back to Him 10%? It all belongs to Him in the first place. Verse 17, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know, I've done all this with good motives, and I've watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it, underline this, that their love for you never changes. David's praying that their love for God would never change. See, that's what commitment looks like. And one of the things that I've learned about commitment is that when people really get committed, I'm not talking about out of guilt or out of obligation or out of, you know, pressure or anything, but when people really get committed because they're convinced of this particular cause and they're convinced that this cause is worthy of their entire life, man, people like that, they love to be challenged about their commitment. They love it when somebody comes alongside of them and says, man, I'm going to raise the bar really high in you. I see God doing something. I'm going to raise the bar really high. How serious are you about this? People that are committed, they love that. But when people have gotten divided about their commitments, when they become compromised, they don't want to talk about commitment. Makes them feel bad. Makes them feel uncomfortable. But when somebody has that commitment burning in their heart, they're like, man, I want more of this. Continually remind me of my commitment to Jesus. Continually raise the bar. And the truth is, man, we get committed to the goofiest things in our culture, don't we? We do. Do you remember like 7 or 8 years ago when Hostess said that they were going to stop making Twinkies? Do you remember that? That announcement terrified our nation. People began stockpiling Twinkies. People go to the grocery store and they would fill their entire cart with Twinkies. And of course you can do that because Twinkies last forever, right? You can fill it up. But America was terrified to think about a life without Hostess Twinkies. So Hostess, what did they do? They eventually brought Twinkies back, didn't they? But for a fully devoted follower of Jesus, the call to 100% commitment to Jesus, nothing less, and that fires them up. It's like showing a Twinkie to a junk food junkie. They say, man, that's what I want. Don't ever let me forget about my commitment to Jesus. You know, one last thing. Jesus is also committed. And you know what he's committed to? He's committed to you. In fact, Jesus is so committed to you that he died on a cross for all of your sins. Amen. And he did that, yeah. And Jesus did that not so that you could live a half-hearted life like Amaziah. Jesus died for your sins and mine so that we would be totally committed 100% to him. Is that you? Is that your commitment level? If it's not, there's an area or two of your life that's not really committed. I want you to take a moment as we sing this song to try to get your heart in the right place. There's no reason that not every single one of us can leave here in a minute being completely committed to Jesus in every single area. You know, I've asked the band to lead us in the song, Build My Life. And I want to have all of us sing out with full voice, telling Jesus how worthy we think he is and how much we want to build our life on him and his kingdom. We're going to sing that out with full voice. If there's something that you need to get right with God during this song, make sure you do that. And then I'll come back and close the service. Would everybody stand if you're able, please?
Sing worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Sing Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Come, let's sing holy. sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Sing Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
This is an outward sign of what we believe as we sing today, that we surrender to Jesus Christ, that we build our lives on His love. So let's join together in one voice and sing, I will build my life.
Here we go.
I will build my
build our lives in the foundation of Jesus and His love. And just so everybody understands, what is our expectation from people who are part of Vineyard Church North Phoenix? We expect 100% commitment to Jesus Christ, and it's the best way to live your life. It's the best way. You know, if you're here this morning and you have a prayer request, we would love to pray for you. You know, whatever it is, maybe you need a job, maybe you need, you know, to get healed of some sort of sickness. Maybe you're feeling like something demonic is going on in your life. You'd like God to break the power of that. We would love to pray for you, whatever your prayer need might be. We'll have a ministry team up here when I dismiss this service in a moment. And if you'd like someone to pray for you, just please feel free to come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. If you're a guest and you've never gone to a guest welcome, takes just a couple minutes out in the lobby. We have an information center. We'd love for you to stop by. We'll give you some information you can take with you. But I want to pray a blessing over you before you go. And if the ministry team would come up while I'm praying, please. Lord, thank you for your presence here among us. God, help us to continue to strive to live with 100% commitment to you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for all the times that we fall short. But God, that is our heart's desire. We want to live with 100% commitment to you. Help us, Lord. Even this week, help us. Bless all my friends as they go their separate ways now, Lord. Bless them, keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people around you. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. Hey, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.